Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. I'm your guest host, Deb Hutton, and it's that time of day where we welcome in our smart speakers. Today, we have Kim Wright, who is principal and founder of Wright Strategies, Karen Stintz, former city councilor and TTC chair here in Toronto, and now the president and CEO of Variety Village, and Grattan Singh, who is VP at Crestview Strategies, a community advocate and a lawyer. Welcome to you all. Let's start with things happening at Queen's Park. A little bit earlier today, I was joined by NDP leader Marit Stiles. You will recall last week, the Speaker of the Legislature placed a ban on the wearing of the keffiyeh in the Ontario Legislative Precinct. Marit Stiles brought forward a unanimous consent motion to overturn that decision. It was rejected by individual members of the legislature, as is the process. She brought back that motion today, she says, when she joined me this afternoon, because she felt, given the Premier's statements, that the motion would pass. And in other words, the wearing of the keffiyeh could take place in the chamber and around the precinct. It did not, however, pass. Two additional things happened that I think are important for context here. One, Sarah Jama, former member of the NDP caucus, now independent MPP from Hamilton, was seen defying the Speaker's ban on wearing the keffiyeh, sitting in her seat in the legislature, wearing it on her shoulder. And secondly, there was a protest in the gallery where individuals were waving the keffiyeh and shouting "Free Palestine." Where do we want to start, Grattan? I'm going to start with you.
I think this is a very bad decision by the Speaker. This is a very important piece of clothing and cultural clothing that has significant impact to a huge amount of Canadians, and no one should be in a position to prevent community to wear their heritage, their culture, or something that with disrespect. So I think it's a bad decision, and I stand with you all to lift this ban.
Okay, we got some bad audio, so Andrew and Ben are going to try and fix that. But I think, Kim Wright, what I heard from Grattan was that he rejects the ban, that for him, this is a piece of cultural clothing. I think, Kim, what it boils down to is whether you believe it is just a part of a culture or whether or not it has become politicized, because that really is the crux of this issue when it comes to wearing something in the Ontario legislature. Your view on that?
Yeah, and it very much has become incredibly politicized, you know, not dissimilar when we hear language, you know, and some will say it's free speech and it's, you know, from the river to the sea and various components of that. But to others, that is very much a call, not of freedom, and certainly not for folks in the Jewish community. Look, the reality is that the Mike Harris government, Deb, as you will well know, started this ban on any buttons, materials, politicized items of clothing without unanimous consent. They started it during the megacity debate. This is a longstanding tradition in the legislature, even if you wanted to wear daffodils for Cancer Awareness Month. There are all sorts of exemptions and unanimous consent. And what we heard in the House last week were some members of the legislature, in particular, I believe Robin Martin from Eglinton Lawrence, said no. And that is their right also as a member of the legislature to say no, that they're not going to give unanimous consent. Would I have liked to have seen any of this worked out between the House leaders? Yes. Do I wish that the ban on political buttons, ribbons, slogans, all of that would be lifted? Yes, but that's not where we are today. And I know people want to keep taking the politics onto this, but the reality is that this is very politicized times.
Yeah, Karen Stintz, I mean, it comes down to whether you believe the legislature, for me, is a place of debate for your partisanship and your political views, or whether you believe it's appropriate for our elected representatives to show what they're going to say in debate on their shoulders, on their heads, on their T-shirts, on their, you know, their lapels. And I personally think that, A, the keffiyeh has become very politicized, and B, therefore, any political sentiment beyond debate should not be shown in our legislature.
Yeah, No, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I know it was Robin Martin originally who said no. There may have been others that said no today. But, you know, hats off to Robin because she took a position that the keffiyeh is a political statement and it's not permitted in the House. And you know, to put some context around it, it's not like the Speaker banned, like unilaterally banned it. It was that this was an acknowledgement that this has become a political statement, and political statements and political, you know, clothing that reflects a political statement is not permitted in the chamber. And that is a rule that I think needs to be respected. And it played itself out today in that it was absolutely a political statement because they're, you know, screaming free, free Palestine. And then, you know, one member puts it on after the ban is upheld, which is 100% a political statement. So it for me, the issue should not come back. It is not helping the discord. It's not helping the dialogue. And, you know, hats off to Robin Martin, who's the MPP for Eglinton Lawrence, who happens to be a conservative, for standing up for democracy.
I will just say I did speak with Sarah Jama last week on The Rush, and I asked her if, in fact, she had worn the keffiyeh in the legislature prior to October the 7th, and she said no, she had not. And again, I think that's important context. I just want to play a short clip of our friend from the CTV News, John Woodward, interviewing Umar Samir's wife. That will be on the CTV News at 6 tonight, right here after The Rush. This is Samir's wife.
For some reason, this does feel incomplete because we feel that it still matters to us that the late officer's wife, what she feels matters to us.
Pretty emotional statement. You can hear it in her voice. Again, that will be that interview will be on CTV News at 6. I just want to go to each of you and sort of get your take on where we are today in this issue. We had, Garat, and I'll start with you, some strong words from Chief Demku on Sunday. I personally had no problem with what he said. He said, we understand, we respect the decision of the jury, but we had hoped for a different outcome. He's clarified that today to say that it's very clear, crystal clear, in fact, is the word he used, that we support and accept the verdict. But there's a lot of emotion on all sides here. Again, Garat, and your general thoughts on where we are on what has been a very difficult issue in Ontario.
Just checking, is my audio coming in right now?
Yep, we're good.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So as a lawyer, as someone who was involved with the justice system, it's very important that we uphold the justice system. And we need to understand that having faith in our system is integral to upholding so many institutions that we have in our province, from our courts to in many aspects of our democracy and just how the province functions as a whole. If you disagree with a ruling, you have a legal means to appeal a ruling. For the statements that were made, I think they're incredibly problematic because it's an individual who's in a position of authority, a chief of police, who is commenting on the results of a trial. And that, to me, is overstepping his position. And he recognized that with his apology, which I think is a good thing. But I think irrespective of how we feel as a public to these decisions, we need to understand that the courts are meant to be independent. The courts are meant to provide decisions based on the law, and I think we must uphold these decisions.
Kim Wright.
So what I don't fundamentally understand is, you know, I suspect people are thinking, oh, he said something on the weekend, put out a statement in the heat of the moment, like sometimes we do on Twitter. That is not what the Communications Department of the Toronto Police Services should do, or in this case, do actually do. As a communications professional and as a politico, you always write for every eventuality. You give yourself the time so you're not making comments and commentary in the moment, if at all possible. You have talking points memos. You have drafted this out. You have contemplated this. So it wasn't an oops moment or an overreach. At the end of the day, if organizations aren't planning for every outcome and eventualities, then what are they doing from a communications perspective? I'll tell you, on an election night, and we all write multiple versions of a speech. If we win, if we lose, somewhere in between, You have to have all of those eventualities covered. And if you don't, you need to talk to your communication professionals.
Karen Stintz, apologies. I'm not going to get to you on this topic. But coming up after the break, I'm going to ask our smart speakers, should Jagmeet Singh support the budget? You're listening to Deb Hutton. This is The Rush on News Talk 1010. Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. It's Deb Hutton in for the next hour and a little bit. This last little while always goes so quickly. And that's largely because we are always joined between 4:30 and 5 by our smart speakers. This afternoon, it is Kim Wright, principal and founder of Wright Strategies, Karen Stintz, former city councilor and TTC chair, now president of and CEO of Variety Village, and Gratin Singh, who is vice president at Crestview Strategy, a community advocate and a lawyer. Week ago today, for those who joined me as our smart speakers, you will remember it was the federal budget for 2024 brought down at 4 o'clock by our Minister of Finance, Chrystia Freeland. It's now a week later, and the federal NDP leader, Jagmeet Singh, who is going to join me, by the way, right after the 5 o'clock news, looking forward to that, says he is not sure yet whether the NDP will support the budget. Kim Wright, is he getting dangerously close to being the only thing that stands between Canadians and the next election and taking the blame for that move?
Look, I will always say that Canadians sent back-to-back minority parliaments back to Ottawa to say, hey, you knuckleheads, get it together. Canadians deserve better than what they had. They want to have these things sorted out. There is a reason they have not sent majority governments. It's to do exactly this. Figure out what is best for Canadians. How do we get there? And what does that brokerage politics start to look like? I think more concerning to me right now is that Pierre Poilievre is trying to block pharmacare. You know, this is a person for the bulk of his life has been on a government issued insurance program. I don't think he's been out of pocket a day in his life. So don't talk to me about the aspects of real Canadians and what these things mean. This is an incredibly important pharmacare program to many, many Canadians, millions of Canadians across this country. And if only they all had the same pension, insurance plan as those fine folks in Ottawa, then we'd all be better off in Canada.
Karen Stintz, I made the point earlier today, I'll make it again when I'm joined by the federal NDP leader, that the NDP in the last election got 18% of the popular vote, and yet seemed to be, and it is our system, I don't reject our system, but seemed to be really holding up the Liberal government in a way that, if you believe the surveys, most Canadians don't want. In other words, Canadians would like to go to the polls and let the results fall where they fall.
Yeah, I agree with you. The public mood has shifted from the last time this minority government was elected in a very material way. And the reality is that the NDP has brought forward many initiatives that completely encroach upon provincial jurisdiction and have driven the budget to an unsustainable place. And so it is, I just think it's rich that, you know, after getting pharmacare, which is not, I mean, it's not pharmacare, it's free birth control and diabetes medicine, you know, dental care, which is driving the dentist crazy in terms of how it's being administered, free lunches for everybody. Now he's going to step away and say, well, there's not enough there for disability benefits. And look, I work in a space for people with disability, and I believe that there's not enough benefits to support people with disability. But I also recognize the federal government cannot fix all of these things, and it's not in their jurisdiction to do so. So, you know, this is what, the fourth time or third or fourth time he's rattled the saber. If you're going to not vote for the budget, just say, I don't think you should vote for the budget because I don't think it's a good budget for the country. But this whole, well, I need to get more and more and more and more before I consider giving you my vote is a tired play. And you know what? And if he continues it, I hope the Liberals at least say, fine, let's go to the polls and, you know, campaign on the carbon tax and see if that's actually where the country wants to be.
Gratin Singh, I think, there's a little bit, Karen just expressed it, of put your money where your mouth is. If you're not happy with the Liberal government, you're not happy with the budget as it was presented last week, then let's go to the polls.
Well, what I would say to Karen is that what's really rich is that the incredibly rich leader of the Conservative Party, Pierre Poilievre, is voting against the same very benefits that have been taxpayer-funded to him, like PharmaCare, like dental care, for the vast majority of Canadians across our nation. That's actually what's really rich in this context, that he's voting against something that he himself has had taxpayer-funded for the vast majority of his career life, or his entire career life. I don't think he's worked in any other job except for being in politics. Now, in addition to that, if we look at the NDP's track record, they have clearly been incredibly successful in pushing the Liberals to provide more for Canadians. Case in point, let's look at PharmaCare. Initially, the supply comms agreement only actually outlines legislation to be put forward. NDP used their power to help Canadians and got them to include free, not just diabetes medication, but diabetes devices and birth control. That is an incredibly important benefit for Canadians who are struggling, along with things like dental care, which is going to help around 9 million Canadians get access to dental care, the investments in child care, housing, and more. So the NDP know what they're doing. They've been able to push this Liberal government to make more and more investments for everyday Canadians. And when people are struggling with affordability, knowing that you're getting a break on your dental care and your pharmaceutical, your medication, is actually a huge benefit for Canadians. So let's see what happens. But I trust the NDP in the negotiations.
All right. I usually try to be a bit nonpartisan in this time and leave it to you guys to be partisan. But Grattan, I have to push back a little bit, which is to say not everybody supports the efforts of the NDP in pushing forward for the Liberals. And secondly, then if in fact it is so popular and what your leader has done is so amazing, then why is it not showing up in the polls for the NDP?
So once again, what I said is that this is a support that's coming to benefit the vast majority of Canadians. Whether you support it or not, this is something that's going to help millions of Canadians. That's my point. Now, if you want to go through polling, actually, the NDP has been like record high. Polling has been in striking distance of the Liberals, something we've never seen before. The NDP, if you look at the polling, by and large, on this show, we've discussed the fact that the NDP is, polling at numbers that you haven't seen in a long, long time. It's great. People are responsive to it. But the point is beyond that. The point I'm making is that the NDP was sent there and said that they're going to fight for Canadians. They're going to bring in benefits to help Canadians. And if we look at what they have provided, dental care for 9 million Canadians, PharmaCare for all Canadians is going to include immediately, this is birth control that obviously helps huge segments, at least 50% of our population is going to at one point have access to this. And we're talking about diabetes devices and medication. So these are real tangible benefits for Canadians. That's what the NDP said that they're going to do, fight for Canadians, and that's what they're doing.
And they were also very clear, just to be honest and transparent about all of this. All of this has always been in the New Democrat platform. So people aren't surprised that the New Democrats have fought for PharmaCare and dental care. And in fact, Tommy Douglas had said if he had Medicare to do all over again, he would have ensured that PharmaCare was part of the program, because it's all well and swell if you can get a doctor and you can understand what is wrong with you. So great, then you know what you're dying of and what you're sick of, but you don't have the means and access to be able to get the medications you need. And when we start to look at whether or not you have a private insurer or not, what we've seen historically has been that people are forgoing because they have to front load a lot of those payments.
Kim Wright, I'm sorry, I got to cut it there.
They're going to
5 o'clock news. That's it for us. Kim Wright, Karen Stintz, Grattan Singh, thanks as always for joining me on The Rush.